Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hey, lady listeners.
Hey, good morning. Yes, it's not an After Dark episode this week.
It's an After Sunrise episode.
Motherfucker, it's after I drop my kids off for their first day of school.
I'm so jealous.
So happy. There's champagne in this coffee cup.
Might have been in it for like 2 weeks now. And my daughter has tried to get out of school twice now already.
In 2 weeks. This is her. She's tried to get out twice?
Yeah. This morning she was like, I got a headache. I think she did cross country and it's every day. They run like between 2 and 5 miles after school. And I think it's just exhausting.
Yeah, I'd want to get out of that shit too.
She doesn't like sleeping and she doesn't like eating. And I think you really need those things to be a cross-country runner.
Like, how does she not like eating? Can you explain? What is that like? I want to know what that's like.
She says she tries, because I was like, you need to eat more. You know, you're probably getting tired and exhausted. And she's like, my stomach just fills up so fast. She's like, I'm just full. I'm like, I don't know. Then eat smaller meals more a day?
I wonder if like those protein shakes are like Ensure or something like
that.
Like just to get her the protein.
Just to put, well, and not for nothing, she weighs 4 pounds.
She's
like
small,
she is tiny. She's so thin.
Yeah, she'll probably never be over 100 pounds soaking wet when she grows all the way up.
Yeah, because she's how old now? She's 13 yet?
Yeah, my son's about to outweigh her.
Yeah, she's just really petite, but, you know, it probably makes her super fast, you know, like running and stuff.
Yeah, the wind can just pick her up and take her.
Yep.
So we are here for She's the One by Ella Goody, and this is our first female-female romance.
I asked her. I texted her the
other
day.
Shit, it's good?
I didn't know, because we had this discussion about it, and Mel was like, I like Goody. It sounds sweeter.
It sounds cuter, Goody, no, than good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, well, if it's good, then why is
the Eagle pointed it out. She goes, oh my God, is this name like Hella Goody or something like Hella Good? I can't remember. She made it sound like.
She had a pun on it, Eagle did.
Yeah.
Of course she did. Of course she had a bomb ass pun on it. Now we can't remember.
Okay, so we're here for our first female-female romance. And you guys read it, or I know Leah read it.
Yes.
Talk to me.
Okay. So, just to prepare you guys, like, I have never read a female. Have any of us read a female-female before?
No.
I have not.
Okay, so none of the three of us had. I picked this up last night. I read it in, like, an hour. It was so fucking good. I was surprised how much I liked it and how much I liked the sex between the two of them. I just did not think that that would be my thing. I thought, oh, this is probably just gonna, like, I'll like this. But I actually loved it. I thought it was really, really good. The way, like, their intimacy, the way they talk to one another. It's very insta-love. They're in college. Like, I don't know. Like, it was titillating, I guess, to use, like, a fun word. Because it was, like, I can imagine what it would be like. Because not necessarily that I'm attracted to women, but I find the beauty in women. And I can imagine, like, feeling another woman's breast. Like, I imagine that would feel nice, you know? Like, just from my completely, like, aesthetic reasons. I like things that are soft. And, you know, like, I just imagine, like, that would feel good to touch another woman in that way. And so, like, reading about it, it was really sexy. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. So, if you've never read a female-female, like, I think this is a fun, really, like, it's a neat way to try it out, because it's really short, it's quick, there's not a lot of drama, it's, you know, like I said, it's insta-love, and then you get this kind of tease at the end with her brother. So, like, one of the main characters, Star, her brother's he's kind of throughout the book, and you get sort of a little tease chapter for him at the end. So, I think it's, like, there's enough of the story that even if you're totally heterosexual, that I think this will appeal to you. So, That's my take on it anyways. That's what I would like to broadcast to listeners. Is give this a chance because it was really fucking good.
So She's the One, the characters are Star and Maisie. And Star is the daughter of Maddox and Luna Castile, who are from Ella's book Captured. The books in that series are Captured, Kept, and Stolen. So you should recognize at least one of the characters, Star. So, that's exciting. I actually went on Goodreads this morning and combed through some female-female romances and pulled out a few from authors that I trust, that I can vouch for their writing, even if I haven't read the books. So I have a couple of those for later, a couple of recommendations. If this, if female-female tickles your fancy, and why wouldn't it? I like exactly. Leah said, I think... Like, the sensuality of tell two women experience. Together is something I... What do you mean?
No, I mean, like, tell me your... Like, what do you thought when you were reading it?
I didn't read it.
Way to call her out.
I thought you said you read it. I'm sorry.
Called you out.
My kid's not back in school yet, okay?
That's true. So, oh, shit, that's
it's
right.
It's just not happening.
You
you
actually just... You were at summer camp last week. That's why you couldn't record with us. So
I was at summer camp.
You were at diabetes camp. That's right. Yeah.
I was at diabetes camp, and then I had COPA, and my kid is just. I'm coaching soccer. Leah's frozen. Mel is frozen in a laughing, continuous laughing state. Yeah. So I'm coaching soccer. Actually, I had to tell you, last night I went to soccer. Practices begin this week and then games start in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm head coaching. They emailed the league like several times and said like, we need coaches or we're going to have to cut players. We're going to have to cut teams. So I volunteered and I had to do a background check. I had to take a sexual abuse clinic. I had to take concussion exam.
That's a lot of responsibility.
I know, and I have to get all these certificates saying that like I passed the tests so that I could recognize these things happening. Anyways, where was I going? Oh yeah, so last night was like the physical clinic for the coaches where we go to the soccer field and like these delightful Scottish boys teach us how to, you know, like what drills to run and like the best way to practice with the kids and how to like engage them and whatever. And at the end of it, so it was like two moms and like 15 dads.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, we played 4-on-4 soccer and I scored.
No way! Did you really?
I scored
like
a goal.
Or with the dads?
No. I scored a goal.
That's so fucking awesome. I've never scored a goal. Did you like lose your shit?
I was like trying so hard not to bet. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God.
But on the inside, I was just like, totally I can't natural. Wait to tell. I was like, I can't wait to tell Pat. I can't wait to tell
Mackenzie. Oh my God. That's so exciting.
It was so funny.
Tessa, I want to cry for you. That's such a lifetime achievement. You scored on adults.
I scored on adults.
Fuck yeah. You scored
on European guy I scored on. I mean, he knows soccer better than anybody.
I know. How did you do it? Would you just,
think he's seen it coming. He probably thought she was just going to completely miss the goal.
I know.
He's standing there, like, checking his phone.
Yeah.
And then, like, they asked me, they're like, what's your name? I was like, I told them my name.
Yeah.
And then,
Tessa Bailey, look me up. Wayne.
Yeah, and then they they use me in the discussion about what I did right and all this stuff. And I was like I don't
did
know
you see
why,
how
but
Tessa came down the field so sharp and focused, and look at her legs and how strong they are. She's so fast.
I was wearing a penny. Like I felt really legit.
Oh, you were just like preening in the corner. Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it was like so funny, and like everybody was so congratulatory about it.
That's
and so,
so
nice
fucking cool.
That I felt I like left with such a good feeling, like
that's
that I did something
so awesome. I'm so ecstatic for you. Like I seriously, like this is, I don't know, I feel like we're kids and you scored a goal because I just want to give you a hug. Like that's so fucking cool.
It was really cool. I like completely forgot what that feels like because I did actually play competitive sports like growing up. I played competitive basketball like from the time I was in second grade. Like I traveled with like the AAU. I don't know if you guys know who that is, but it's like we were in Canada and Seattle and Florida. Like we traveled when I was like 15.
Yeah.
And I forgot what that feeling was like. And it makes me want to like play adult sports.
For sure. Oh, yeah. I think it'd be so awesome. I would love to play an adult sport. I just don't know what I like football. I don't know why I said it like I like football.
Football.
I like football though. I was thinking there's a game on tonight. Clemson's playing tonight, but yeah. So I would like to play that, but most of them ones as an adult are flag because people get really aggressive and then they get injured.
No, so. Yeah, no. There's an adult volleyball league for women in my town, but I don't like, volleyball was never my jam, like, I just never got into volleyball, so there's also, like, tennis league and stuff, but I'm just, I don't know, if I had to play something, I think it would be soccer or basketball.
Yeah.
But anyways, I coached really soccer tonight, so Lucy Score was at the COPA signing, where we were at last weekend, and she came to my table. And I was like, I told her that her book, Rock Bottom Girl, is the reason that I just, like, volunteered to head coach my daughter's soccer team this year. And she was so sweet.
She was so delightful. I know.
She's so delightful.
I'd never met her before. Yes. I'd never met her before. She was so nice. I loved it. I'm really glad I got to meet her in person.
Yeah, she was really sweet. I have to tell you guys about camp. I didn't even really tell you guys about camp.
Oh, shit. That's right. Yeah, because you said when we were together at the signing, when we saw you at COPA, you were like, I have a story from camp. I want to tell you really bad, but I'm going to wait until the podcast. And I was like, you want to tell me right now, don't you? And you're like, yes. So,
but Mel didn't hear it. Mel didn't hear the story.
No, it's okay. Give it up.
I just want to preface it by saying I'm not laughing. It's just a crazy ass story.
Yeah.
It's just a crazy ass story. So, okay. So we get to this camp with my daughter, summer camp, and there's like an hour and a half of like getting to know you games. So like we did this thing where we stand in a circle and talk, like say our names and where we're from. And then we play like a warm-up game of capture the flag, which actually ends up being quite the team building exercise, because you just have to start strategizing with people on your team, and then
you play over this the course right of the away game. Like you get there, drop your gear, and you start playing this. Is that right?
We get there, we drop your gear, we set up our cabins, and then about an hour the kids have to take swim tests, like to make sure that they can swim. Sure. Then we end up playing capture the flag. So so there's this dad on the other team, and he's like, now, listen, I'm really competitive. I just want to say that in advance. And I was like, oh, this guy. I was like, okay, that's fine. I was like, I'm, you know, not that competitive about capture the flag. And he's like, and his wife comes up and she's like, no, listen, he's really competitive. Like, just be prepared. And I was like, oh, okay.
What did they think that was going to resonate by saying it over and over?
I don't know.
Because they want to let you to know, they want to prepare you. They're like, kind of, it's like, I just want you to know.
That's basically what you're telling me.
It's kind of like me, it would be me prefacing, like, if I went into a room, me being like, I'm really shy. I'm just letting you know. Yeah. I'm not trying to be rude.
Okay.
I'm just really shy. Okay.
Yeah. I think so. I think he was just trying to make small talk, too.
Okay.
So anyways, So they blow the whistle, the game starts, and he jukes to the right, like he's going to go past me to the right. So I go to the right, like I'm going to block him.
Yeah.
He stops short, his foot, like, sticks in the grass, and his ankle snaps.
Oh!
Like, we have, it just started a minute ago, the game. Like, his ankle broke. It was broken.
Jesus. I can't imagine what that sounded like.
Well,
did
so
you hear
what happened,
it like pop?
I heard it snap. Yeah.
Oh God.
So Jesus. I said to him and I was like, and immediately everybody rushed over and he was just kind of like, you could see he was so embarrassed and he was just like, I'm just going to need a minute. Anytime anybody asked him if he was okay, he's just like trying to like get people to leave him alone.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I was like, in no way, shape, or form does this guy want me to acknowledge out loud that I'm responsible for breaking his ankle. Because that will just make it worse. Right? So I just walked away.
Yeah. Did you really?
I did.
Tessa, oh my my God, you just walked away from the scene of the crime.
Because I just, like, that's exactly what he wanted me to do. Like, he did not want me to be like, I'm sorry I broke your ankle, buddy. Like,
yeah, yeah,
so
for sure.
I just walked away, and I think that's what he would have wanted.
Because he's really competitive.
Yeah, he's really competitive.
Really
so.
Competitive enough to break his ankle in a flag football game an hour into camp.
So I also, when I got to camp,
no.
There was, I have to tell you this too. There was the cafeteria full of parents and stuff, and they're doing like the opening talk or whatever. And I just realized, like, that I have, like, a method for picking out who I'm going to sit next to or, like, become
What's
friends
with. What's
your method? I don't think it was a conscious thing, but I realized that I always make friends with the same people, and my method is to pick the person that looks the most critical in the room.
The one that's making the stink face in the corner.
The one who's got the resting bitch face. I will always gravitate towards them every
time.
Why?
Why?
I don't know.
You know you can talk shit with them?
I wonder
if it's like a chance to be honest where you're like, oh, good, they're unhappy too. This is my people.
I think I'm just a very skeptical, like, I'm very skeptical, I'm very cynical, and I think that, like, when it's like, they're not going to like me unless they are too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's just going to be a hard sell
I like on myself. That, though.
So
maybe you see it as a challenge, too, where you're like, they don't like anything, they're going to like me.
I'm going to make them like me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's what I did this time, and it paid off. I ended up making friends with a mom who was a murderino.
Fuck yes! That's awesome! Of Which course, RBF listens. Is the murderino.
Yeah. So that, for those of you who don't know, that's a murderino is someone who listens to the My Favorite Murder podcast. And it's so funny. Like, I would be talking to her about stuff, and she'd be like, you heard that on My Favorite Murder. I'd be like, Jesus, like, I can't tell you anything interesting.
Have you heard about Chernobyl?
Have you heard about Chernobyl? No, but I did
I feel
talk
like
to her
that's
about.
Have you heard about Jesus Christ? Like, I feel like you're like one of those, like, one of the people that come to your door, a Jehovah's Witness. You're like a Jehovah's Witness, but for Chernobyl.
For Chernobyl. But no, what I did talk to her about was Everest. And like
how
there's all those bodies on the way up to the top of Everest.
Yeah, on the way up. That's really cool.
And she was like, she let me tell the whole damn story. And then she was like, you heard that whole thing on My Favorite Murder. And I was like, ah, Jesus. Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Hell
I did.
Yeah, dude. You know what's funny, though? I was trying to think about who I gravitate toward in a situation like that. Because I think I'll do one of two things. I either find the person who's very quiet and by themselves. And I'll go talk to them because I don't like anybody feeling left out. I hate the thought of someone feeling like they don't belong or they're not gonna make a friend or like they're lonely or whatever it is. Like, I immediately gravitate towards that person so they feel included because I want everybody to have fun. Like, and I think that's, and no matter what situation I go in, I think I want everybody there to have a good time. And so I either do that or I make friends with the other really loud person in the room because I think, like, I can outdo that.
And she needs to know it.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's so
like,
funny.
Like recognizes like.
Mel, who do you gravitate towards? Or do you just stick to yourself, be by yourself?
I'm probably the person who came over and sat. Nice.
Yeah, she's the one.
I was sitting over there by myself. Minding my own business, and you came and sat down next to me.
And she forced you to be a friend. And you're like, okay, fine. So what else, did anything else could happen at diabetes camp other than the fact that you didn't have air conditioning?
I didn't have air conditioning, and I forgot my sleeping bags at home. So I had to go to Walmart at like 6 a.m. the following morning, which I hadn't been to a Walmart since 2010.
Yeah.
And the last time, and I remembered this later, the last time I went to a Walmart was in 2010 to buy sleeping bags.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Because my friend and I went to Bonnaroo Music Festival in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And we were like, well, we're not going to buy camping gear just to use it this one time. Like, we lived in this New York City at the time.
Yeah.
So we're like, we'll just get there, buy camping gear, and then we'll just leave it.
Yeah.
So that's it. I only go to Walmart to buy sleeping bags, apparently. There was one other thing, funny thing that happened, though. There was, like, an arts and crafts hour with, like, everybody, all the kids and the parents and stuff. And they were like, okay, well, we're going to ask you to draw what your diabetes looks like, you know? So the kids drew what they thought it looked like, and then parents drew it. And so then it came time for everybody to share. And, like, all these moms were standing up, and they were like, I drew kind of like a boat with a tugging a boat behind it, and just, like, you know, the parents, like, leading their child through the storm, like, see some clouds. And then another dad was like, oh, you know, I drew us climbing a mountain because it's, like, us trying to, like, overcome this thing together. And then I looked down at mine, and I had drawn me and Mackenzie on a tightrope with alligators snapping at us below.
Did yeah. you not? Did you not share it?
I didn't share it. No.
But what did Mackenzie actually, draw?
What, like, she drew? She drew.
Was it kids and parents? Was it kids and parents together doing this, or was it just parents?
It was kids and parents.
Oh, okay. And so, what did the kid draw?
Mackenzie drew, like, kind of a comic book version of what she likes about diabetes and what she doesn't.
Okay.
Kind of like, Yeah, she, like, that's she sweet. Hates changing okay. her devices, basically, so.
Yeah,
but I've
yeah.
made some progress. She's going on play dates now without me.
That's
she
good.
Hasn't done for, like, you know, a year and a half. Like, yeah. yesterday, I dropped her off at a friend's house, and I left for, like, 2.5 hours, and she had her cell phone on her, and I could see her like, blood sugar number on my
yeah.
phone.
Yeah.
So, like, when she started to go down, I would just text her, like, tell her what to do.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I'm making some progress. And the other thing that happened good. Is at camp, there was I found a nurse that, like, lives in Long Island. So now I have a diabetic nurse babysitter.
Holy shit. That's fucking awesome.
Which is massive because me and Pat can go out together again.
Yeah. Like, how long has it been since that dinner. Happened? Yeah.
Well, that's so it's cool. It's been a long time since I was able to go out with Pat and not worry.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
like, I won't worry at all. Like, this is,
for
she
sure.
she has diabetes herself, and mm-hmm. it actually is good for Mackenzie to be around somebody like that, regardless of, you know, if
yeah,
she's
like
babysitting or just hanging out. Yeah.
An adult that can manage it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so,
cool.
Some cool stuff came out of it. Sorry, I keep yeah. talking about camp, but I do want to say one more thing. Like,
we
that one time at band
it,
camp, that one time
I know,
at
well,
diabetes
we
camp.
We haven't talked in a while, so yeah.
So Mackenzie, so when we first got there, there was this little girl named Maya, and she was in our cabin, and this is the Murderino's daughter.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So she and Mackenzie made friends, like, immediately. Like, they were so close, they were joined at the hip the entire week.
Oh, that's sweet.
And she was, like, a couple years older than Mackenzie, and she was, like, very like, she would hug Mackenzie every time she saw her, and mm-hmm. she was, like, very kind of dreamlike. I don't know how to explain that but she was, like, she would fixate on things or get really distracted by things, but she'd be like, oh, look at the sunset, like, she would, and then she would just, like, go.
That's sweet. Yeah, like a very spirited child.
But I loved her, and just this kind of, like, I don't know, this dreamer quality she had about her.
Yeah.
And I didn't find out until the very last day that she had, like, ADHD.
Oh, wow.
And I don't have a lot of experience with ADHD, like, mm-hmm. and I don't, and so that's probably why I didn't know how to recognize it. And I'm sure there are a lot of challenges, like, I'm sure people are listening and their kids have ADHD, and I'm sure that there's a lot of challenges that come with that. But I wasn't prepared for how beautiful it can be at the same time. Like,
yeah.
if that makes sense. Like, she,
it's like she takes a moment to appreciate.
She
things.
Takes,
like,
she
yeah,
gets
yeah.
distracted by things, but, like, in this, and I'm sure it manifests itself in different
yeah.
ways for different
yeah.
kids, but she would just be like she would, like, fixate on, like, a frog, and then she would, like, want to build a house for the frog, and then Mackenzie would be like, yeah, let's build a house for the frog.
Oh, that's
and
so sweet.
They would just, like, do this thing and spend hours on it, and she would be
yeah.
so, you know, like, fixated on it, and
uh-huh.
I don't know how to explain it, but she was just the most beautiful soul, and I had no idea. Like, I've never had to, like, I've never spotted anything like that or been like, I would have never said, oh, yeah, she definitely has ADHD.
Well, I just don't have a lot of experience. It can also be one of two things, though, because there's ADHD where it's attention hyperactive deficit disorder. There's attention deficit disorder where it's like that you don't always have the hyperactivity that goes with it.
Yeah.
Where it could manifest, like, my husband is ADD, and so he actually takes Adderall for it, because he's so high functioning, he can't focus, because he's like that. His doesn't manifest in an appreciative way, where his manifests in a self-destructive way, because he focuses on the wrong thing to the point where it distracts him enough to harm his other progress. You know, to the detriment of his career, I guess to say, because he's too busy focusing on something else. But now I have a friend whose child has the ADHD where it's a hyperactive disorder, and she has to keep her medicated, like pretty heavily medicated most of the time, because her hyperactivity is enough to where she can't focus on anything. She's just bouncing off the wall, screaming, playing.
Right.
But she has like a time release medicine where it has that effect on her, like you're talking about, because I feel like my friend's daughter is very much, when she's on her meds, she's very much like that, where she's like, oh, this is just so sweet. And it's like, she can concentrate on things that make her happy. And she is a very happy and loving child when she is on her medicine. And that's, you know, I mean, that's with anything. I think even as an adult, like with antidepressants or that kind of thing, whatever it takes to make you feel better, do that. So with this child, like, I feel like it does make her a more loving and aware and conscious child versus when she's off the medication and she's out of her skin. She can't do anything, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So there's definitely differences that I'm not, like, fully aware of. But I just wanted to say that it was just, like, her, however it made her, and it's possible she was on medication that, you know, like, was helping.
I mean, she could not be. This could just be her natural state. I was just saying, as far as, like, my examples of dealing with it on a personal level.
She probably was on medication. Yeah. But she, you know, it just made it. She was just the most beautiful little thing. Like, isn't she calls, sweet? She FaceTimes Mackenzie all the time. And they talk about she has, like, you know, gerbils. And Mackenzie shows pictures
that's
of her cats.
So sweet.
It's just really sweet, and we're gonna try and send them to camp together, like in the winter and the summer. So.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I'm glad you guys had a good experience.
We did.
So
okay.
Do you want to talk about? Oh wait, sorry. What have you got? Go.
No, you go. What have you guys been up to?
Well, I was gonna ask about COPA. So we didn't really get to spend a lot of time together, because on the map it looked like our tables were together, like side by side. But when we got there, it was like way far apart. So we had Tess's table, like, really far down, and there was Read Me Romance in the middle, and there we were on the end. So we actually didn't see each other until really the end of the signing. That was finally when we got to talk.
Yeah.
And then we forgot to take a picture.
And then we did nothing. So. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Then we didn't we didn't do the Q&A. We didn't take pictures together.
We
just
basically
bitched for an hour.
We're like, are we going to do dinner? And we're all like, no, we're all going to lay down.
I know. Well, at that point, I'd been up since 5 o'clock because I had to do hair and makeup. So I'd been up since 5.
Same.
And we didn't go to bed till like probably 1 the night before. So I'm working on like 4 hours of sleep. And we know we had been through the sign all day, which was great. And we met so many awesome readers. It was a ton of fun. But then by the time it was 5 o'clock, I was like, I want to take my bra off and eat Chinese in bed. And that's what we did. So it was great.
Yeah, I went home and had Japanese food. I went home and had sushi. I was just like, you know, it's like there's something nice about going home to your family at the end of something like that, too. And just being
I can imagine. Yeah. Well, and it's like after a long day like that, I would have loved to have just gone home and gotten into my own bed. Yeah. If I could have opted for that, that's 100% what I would have done. Yeah. But I just thought it was funny that we didn't do the Q&A, we didn't take a picture. But luckily, Mel has amazing Photoshop skills. I told Mel, I said, the worse it is, the better it's going to be. So make it bad. So she put Tessa, it's like this giant between the two of us in Photoshop. And we posted it at headquarters, and it is terribly wonderful.
Well, this is my equivalent, like, this is my nightmare equivalent of when I did the caricature of us. because I just look like a gargantuan, like, I look so it's aggressive wonderful. And so, like, I look like I've got you in a headlock.
It looks so just, good.
It's so it's embarrassing, so but I don't mind it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. That's there's probably a part of me that it just is represented there. Not gonna lie. So, yeah. What else have you guys been up to for the past couple weeks?
I have an interesting story. So
tell us.
Give it up.
So we live out in the country. I live next door to my parents, as everybody knows, if you've been listening. And so we have sewage tanks or whatever. I guess they're under the ground. I can't see them. They're under the ground. Yeah. Somebody comes out septic. And checks them every it's 6 weeks. Tank.
Yeah.
So, or not 6 weeks, every 6 months. But we've gotten mm-hmm. so much rain that the alarms were going off. So my mom had somebody come out and check them the other day. So they haven't been checked. And it had been recently that they had just been checked. So I come out and I guess they leave a note. I don't deal with it. My husband does. And my husband was like, I got the note from the sewage people. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. He's like, let me send you a picture of it. And he sends a picture of it, and it says, there are wipes that were stuck in the motor and a condom.
Oh!
And he's like, why is there a fucking condom? Somebody flushed a condom. I was like, oh my God. So,
yeah, because my it's kids between are just you and your parents.
Yeah. No, our tanks are separate.
Oh, shit. So, in your house,
it came from our house. Oh, and so, fuck. We're like, oh my God, our kids are too young to be having sex. We don't use condoms. Yeah. Obviously, if it was my husband, he wouldn't call himself out because yeah, I never would have seen the note.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, and I text it to my mom in the group chat. I'm like, look at this. And her response is, you guys really need to stop using wipes over there.
That's her response? And not I who go, the fuck used the condom?
And that's what my husband goes. He goes, what about the condom? First off, we don't use wipes, but there's a condom in the sewage system.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you can't replace that motor again. It was just replaced. And she will not comment on the condom. Because yeah. that's just my mom. She's like a bone collector. She doesn't talk shit. She sees something. She's like, that's what I call her, the bone collector. She knows everything. She doesn't say shit.
She minds her own business.
Like, she even has a saying, never let on. She'll say, she's I don't like, understand. Never let on.
Where the fuck did the condom come from?
I have not a clue. I'm going to guess one of the nephews, because they're the older boys.
That means they were having sex in your house.
I know.
Oh, gross.
I know. Because I went ahead and I asked my daughter, who's only 13. I was like, okay, so here's the story. And I was like, did you get one in health class and like throw it away or something?
Yeah.
And she's like, but now she's on the case too.
She's going to find out, huh? You got an inside snake.
I mean, I guess we do have a pool. So sometimes people come out. I don't know. I'm like, I don't understand who's having sex in the house.
That means, oh, gross. Oh, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
But my mom's response just killed me. Yeah, I was just like, she just never even mentioned it. She's just glossed right over it.
You can get flushable wipes, though. Tell your mom that.
No, we can't even use those. You can't, she's like, well, I don't know what it is. Better not, maybe it's toilet or paper towels or something. She's like, nothing but toilet paper. Whatever. Nobody's mentioned the condom.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll ignore the condom.
That's pretty much my story of the past few days or what interesting happened to me. So,
I love it.
With the condom talk, let's go ahead and send you guys in because there's definitely not going to be condoms
to this female story that's not going to need one. Let's go with that.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. See you on the flip side, guys.
Maisie. I want to be ruined by him. Dick down until I can't walk. He's the type of guy that you should apologize to if he cheats. That's going a little far, isn't it? I ask, trying for a mild tone since my friends all call me a killjoy when it comes to thirsting over guys. All the girls' eyes at the table swing toward me. Maisie, are you blind? My friend Becky says. Indignation colors every word. Matt Castillo is the reason I'm failing chemistry. I can't concentrate on the lecture. I actually created an Instagram account for the sole purpose of following him, and if there isn't a new selfie every day, my day is ruined. She says it like that's not the least bit crazy. Look at him. He's so gorgeous he'd make a nun forget her vows, chimes in my roommate, Dally. She waves her hand in Mac's direction. He has it all. He's tall with the perfect kind of muscles, the ones that are defined but not so enormous that it looks fake. His face is literally perfect. All the girls nod vigorously in agreement. We have the same biology class, and the professor had him stand up in the front and used him as an example of a symmetric face. Both sides of his face are exact replicas of the other. Plus, the distance from his eyes to his mouth is precisely 1/3 of his face. So, basically, science agrees with us. He's the hottest man alive. Dally finishes, using science to prove her point. I tap my spoon against the lunch tray and take a long look at the object of my friend's obsession sitting 3 tables away. Mac is everything that my friend said he was. Tall, muscular, with a face that doesn't make me want to puke. Still, I feel unmoved by him. Not a spark of attraction. The idea of being dicked down until I can't walk sounds uncomfortable and not sexy. I try to envision him naked, but the image of the last unsolicited dick pic I received flashes in front of my eyes. The cafeteria lasagna starts to climb up my throat, and I hastily avert my eyes. But not before Mac catches me staring. "Oh my God," Becky whisper screams. "I think he just winked at you." "He's getting up," hisses Heidi. "He's walking this way," Dally nearly shouts. I'm not sure if that's panic or excitement in her tone. I want to sink into the floor. "If he asks you out, you have to say yes. Say yes, go home, fuck his brains out, and come back and tell us everything," Heidi breathes into my ear. That sounds horrible on every level. I close my eyes and send out a prayer to the universe. Please let it be that he's just walking to get more milk. If he does stop at our table, have him talk to Dally. Heidi's taken so Dally or Becky can have him just not me. "Hey, Maisie, right? I think we had calc last semester." I know I should smile, raise my head, and shake this boy's hand, but I don't want to. I don't want this kind of forced interaction. Why is he coming over here simply because I looked at him? It wasn't an invitation. I was inspecting him, like a scientist would inspect an insect. "Be nice," I can hear my mom saying. "It costs you nothing to be nice." "Actually, it costs me time and energy," I retort in my head. But good manners win out. I lift my chin, paste on a smile, and give the boy a nod. Yes, calc, it was terrible. I suck at math and hope I will never have to solve another equation again.
"Oh, I didn't know you hated it. You should have said something. I could have helped you out."
His eyes twinkle in a way that I think I'm supposed to find enticing, but it only makes me uncomfortable. I drop my gaze to his chin, fighting my need to fidget, but that's a mistake because now I'm staring at his stubble. Why do guys think that's attractive? It looks like dirt stuck to his skin.
"Any math subjects this semester?"
I force myself to pay attention and not be rude. "No, I plan to live my life in such a way that I will never need to do any calculations that are beyond the scope of my phone's calculator." Mac throws back his head and howls with laughter. I look to my friends to find out what's so funny, but they're dumbfounded too. Becky wiggles her eyebrows, signaling Mac is hooked and now is the time for me to reel him in. I feign ignorance. It's time to wrap this little encounter up before Mac gets any bad ideas. The last guy that I turned down lit a bottle of Coors Light on fire and threw it at the front door of my house.
The landlord wasn't very happy, and it took a lot of cajoling along with one of my famous layer cakes to stop him from kicking me and Dally out. That's cute, Max says after his chortling winds down.
You're cute, Becky replies.
Isn't he? Everyone choruses, hell yes. Even the girl at the next table over. They are all in agreement when it comes to Max's level of attraction. I remain quiet. Becky kicks my leg.
Isn't he, Maisie?
Dally fights not to laugh.
Ow!
I cast a dark look at my roommate because she isn't saving me like normal. But not because I don't want to have two sore shins.
Yes, very cute.
Even saying the words sounds weird on my lips. I know he can tell my response is forced, and I'm okay with that. My plan is to say whatever it is that I need to so that he'll go away as soon as possible. Max smiles, and every single girl in the room sighs. I swear, for a second, he's almost uncomfortable. Every girl reacts to him besides myself and one other. The other is Star, a violet-haired girl sitting at my favorite table, which is tucked into the corner. I love that spot because it's peaceful and overlooks the pretty garden the horticulture club works so hard to keep up. Star looks like a flower from that garden, so it's probably perfect that she's sitting at that particular table. She has things scattered all over the table, and it looks as though she may be sketching or doodling. It's hard for me to tell from this distance. I sigh, putting my chin in my hand. Every time I see Star, the girl has been either reading or drawing in her notebook. No matter what's going on in the world, Star seems to be able to block it out. There was a massive fight in the quad a couple of weeks ago between two guys. I can't remember what instigated it. Dally insists that it was something related to me, about how I let one guy open a door for me but didn't let the other guy do the same. I'm sure that can't be the reason, but regardless, it happened right in front of Star, and the girl never looked up from what she was doing, not even when a punch sent one of the guys to the bench beside her. I would love to reach that level of unbothered. I channel a little inner Star and pick up my tray. Nice to meet you. Good luck in your future math classes. I practically sprint to the exit, shoving the tray onto the discard assembly belt and bolt out the door. Outside, I realize I forgot my purse and backpack next to the table. I peek through the windows and see that Mac is still with my friends. Dally is speaking animatedly while Mac leans back from her, trying to make a little space between them so one of Dally's hands doesn't hit him. I brighten. Maybe he's asking Dally out.
You're blocking the door,
a voice says behind me. I whirl around to see Star glaring at me. I feel my face turn bright red. I'm sorry.
Okay, but can you move?
The small girl asks with a bite of impatience.
I've only got 30 minutes before my tutoring appointment starts, and I've got to drop something off in my advisor's office.
She runs an agitated hand through her soft purple hair. I don't know why she's so irritated with me. My eyes track the movement. Star's hair is always so shiny. I wonder if she uses a keratin treatment or argan oil to get it that glossy, or whether it's natural. I suspect it's natural, because there's nothing about Star to suggest she spends much time in front of the mirror, despite the fancy hair color. The shorter girl is always dressed in track pants or jeans, an oversized t-shirt in the summer, and a big flannel button-down in the winter. I think the clothes are borrowed from her boyfriend, although I've never seen Star with anyone. The thought of her with a boyfriend bums me out for some reason I don't fully understand. I'm not sure why I would even care. Star clears her throat.
The door.
I jerk to attention. Oh, right, sorry, the door. Beet red, I slide to the left, which just so happens to be the exit door, and immediately lose my balance as my two friends come barreling through. I stumble and reach out to steady myself, not realizing that the thing I grabbed is Star's arm. There's a horrifying ripping sound.
I release the shirt, but it's too late. I'm so sorry, I say, reaching out with both hands, although to do what, I'm not sure. It's not like I can stitch the thing back together. Star is full of the same skepticism. She pulls the sleeve up uselessly and backs away. It's all good. I'm sure it can be fixed. Just let me through, okay?
Sure, sure, but here. I whip out a notebook, scribble down my phone number, and tear the sheet out. I thrust the torn paper toward Star. Take this. I'll have the shirt fixed. Please tell your boyfriend that I'm sorry for ruining his shirt. Your shirt. Whatever.
Star gives me a weird look, one that suggests I've been smoking too much weed, but takes the paper from my hand.
It's fine, and I don't have a boyfriend. Why would I ever date a guy when there are all these cute girls around?
She shakes her head like I'm the dumbest person she's ever encountered, and then takes off.
What was that all about?
Dally says. I stand there, shocked as her words penetrate my thick skull. For the first time, when it comes to dating, that actually sounds right. I suddenly feel like a piece that's been missing clicks into place.
Chapter 2. Star. You get her number? I smack my brother's giant chest and make him move out of my way. He's standing in the entryway to the kitchen. We share a place near campus. I don't know how we ever shared a womb. My brother is big all over. I'm guessing because I'm so small. It's the only way both of us were ever able to share a womb in my mom. I'm surprised my mom was able to lug us around since she's as small as I am. Mac's giant body fills up the whole doorway to the kitchen. Move. I thump his chest again. Not that it does any good. Mac is unmovable. The only way he's moving is if he wants to. He's grown bigger than our dad, and that's saying a lot. My dad, Maddox, looks like he should have once graced a football field and not the head of a boardroom. Answer me and I'll move. He folds his arms over his chest. I saw her give you a piece of paper. Yes, she gave me her number. I roll my eyes, trying to play it cool. I don't usually get silly crushes. That might be the problem I have with Maisie. I don't think this would be only a crush. I can see myself falling off the deep end for her. She is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. She takes perfection to a whole new level. Her most appealing quality is that she doesn't know her level of attractiveness. Even if she does, she doesn't act anything but humble. Mac finally steps aside, letting me into the kitchen, happy he got the response he wanted. He's all smiles. He's smitten with himself. He doesn't need to be. Every girl in the world already is with him. He doesn't need to add himself to his own list. Thank God. Her friend Dolly is Dally. I correct him. I think he knows her name. He knows everything, so I don't know why he says it wrong. Yes, I know who her friends are, too. I also know she and Dally share an apartment. I don't know why, but something about Dally rubs me the wrong way. Whatever, she's scary. I was almost assaulted by her animated hands. She's a toucher. The smile he's been rocking drops from his mouth, and I can't read the expression on his face. It's one I've never seen before. Mac doesn't like being touched, except by family. I think it's because one too many girls have done it to him. They usually fall all over him. It's always been that way, and he can't stand it. Mac is a genius, but people often miss that about him because he's so handsome. You're the one who went over there and talked to them, I remind him as I search for something to eat. There is always something packed in here. Mac inherited our Aunt MJ's cooking skills, where I am more our mom and burn water. I never worry about the contents of the fridge, knowing that if Mac doesn't have the time to cook, my mom will be by to stock it with some goodies. Cause you're always looking at her, but never do anything about it. He shrugs, leaning up against the doorframe. I'd be jealous if I hadn't known what my brother was up to when he went up to Maisie and her friends.
She's hard to miss. I point out the obvious. Max shrugs. Okay, maybe not that obvious to him. The two of them really could be kindred spirits. Mac has girls falling all over him, while everything with a dick is trying to get near Maisie. Half the time, she doesn't notice, and the other half of the time, she looks like a deer caught in headlights. She has no idea how beautiful she is. It's hard to focus on my book sometimes when she's near. I have to will myself to pay attention to what I'm doing. I am one of the many who want to fall all over her, which isn't like me. I don't go chasing after girls. I definitely don't pine over one I don't think I have a chance with. Sure, I play for the same team. I just don't crush on girls who are straight. At least, I think she is. To be honest, I'm not real sure what she's into. She almost has this innocence to her that makes me think she's not even sure what she wants herself. I've never seen her take up with any of the men who are always hitting on her. In fact, like my brother, she is always trying to get away from them. She panics when one tries to hit on her. Mac is more smooth about getting himself in and out of situations with girls. Her face was pure shock when I told her I'm not into men. She assumed I have a boyfriend and that I'd be wearing his clothes. These are all mine. It is my favorite shirt, in fact. My mind flashes to her wearing my shirt, her bare long legs that go on forever, making it barely cover her ass, her eyes filled with sleep as she strolls around my bedroom looking for her panties that I'd tossed away when we'd fallen into bed. She's pretty. Mac jerks me from my thoughts. He smirks, knowing it's going to irritate me that he's commenting on her looks. I know you're into her, he adds quickly before I can smack him again for good measure. She probably doesn't know we're related, I point out. I'm not sure what Mac thought he was doing when he went over to their table. I saw him do it out of the corner of my eye. What if she had wanted you? I slam the fridge door just thinking about it. I don't need a wingman, I remind him for the millionth time. He doesn't want to date, but here he is trying to set me up all of the time. My focus is school. It's the one thing my brother and I have in common. It is the Castile in us. We are a driven bunch. I don't need a crush taking up my every thought. I could feel it already taking hold when Maisie thrust her phone number at me. I shouldn't have taken the paper from her, but I did. Trust me, that girl has no idea I exist. It's refreshing. Mac pushes off the door, going to the fridge. He pulls something out and starts to make a plate I know is for me. I reach into my pocket and pull out the number that's been burning a hole in it. I stare down at it. Her handwriting is as perfect and beautiful as she is. She reminds me of one of those models that wears a set of wings on the runway. I think they are called angels. It fits her, with her big green eyes and her blonde hair that's so long it drops down to her pert ass. Are you smelling that? I jerked the paper away from my nose. I wasn't smelling it. My face heats, and I bet I'm as red as Maisie had gotten when she ran into me. I'm guessing I don't look as sexy as she did when it happened. Her look was so adorably flustered that my whole body had lit up. Then I was a jerk to her. Mac laughs as he puts the plate into the microwave. I'd laugh too if I was him. The paper smells like lemon. It reminds me of her, bright and sunny. A wave of guilt washes over me at how rude I acted toward her. I was rude to her, I admit to my brother. I drop the paper down onto the kitchen counter. I tell him most things, but I haven't told him about my crush on Maisie. It isn't a secret in my family that I'm into girls. It's always been known. I am never shy or worried that any of my family cares. We are a loyal bunch and nothing can change that. I think I haven't mentioned Maisie to Mac because I don't think it can go anywhere. Still, he picked up on it. I should have known he would. He notices everything. Text her. He pushes the paper toward me. I pick it back up, staring at the beautiful script. Star. His tone grows more stern, sounding like our dad. The microwave dings.
When do we back down? I look up from the piece of paper I'm holding tight in my fingers to meet my brother's gaze that matches my own. Never.
Maisie. So, that girl, Star, when she said she only likes girls, does that mean she only likes girls? I ask my roommate as we pick up dinner at the deli. I've been thinking about Star's statement all day, and I've conjured up a lot of scenarios based on it. But I've jumped to conclusions before and been totally wrong. When I first received Dally's information in my orientation packet, I thought she was a guy. To be fair, her full name is Dallas McCormick. That sounds like a jock's name, right? Anyway, I wanted a female roommate and wrote this long, angry letter to the college about how I deserved to live in a safe space on campus. They forwarded the letter to Dally, who sent me a picture. That's all. Nothing more. Nothing more was needed, I guess. Dally was a girl. Yes, Maisie. I'm pretty sure that's what she meant. Do you want chips? Dally holds up a bag of Doritos. Is the sky blue? I grab the bag from her hand. I'll get a Diet Coke to offset the calories in the chips. With anyone else, I'd say it doesn't work that way, but you're Maisie London, and for you, it does. I make a face, but I can't deny it. I have a good metabolism, and I have been lucky enough to not have to count calories. Dally, on the other hand, looks at food and gains weight. I think she looks good, curvy, and often wish I had her chest and ass. But Dally doesn't want to hear it. She says my opinion doesn't count because I love her. But if the opinions of the people you love don't count, who's due? We can walk on the treadmill at the Union later tonight if you want, I offer. This perks Dally up. Yes! She fist pumps. She loves the Union gym because the treadmills have this nice rubber track, but there are so many gross, smelly guys there that are always coming over to interrupt our gossip sessions. Like, we're having a conversation. Why do they think they need to be a part of it? I need a good workout after the debacle that was my history class today, Dally continues as we pay for the food. The guest lecturer was going on and on about how the tennis court revolution would have never happened if the poor people had enough food, which, duh, no one with a full stomach ever fights for anything. I didn't need 50 minutes and a dozen slides to hammer that point home. School is dumb, I agree. I'm not learning anything right now that I can see will help me either get a job or function as an adult out of college. I probably shouldn't have chosen communications as a major. It's so boring and dumb. Think of your audience. Be creative. Choose your words carefully. I could have written the textbook for that. Why are we even here? Dally ponders. Because this is what we were told to do. My parents went to college. My older brother went to college, so that's what I'm doing. Even though I'm not sure what I'm going to do with a degree. The idea of sitting in a cubicle at some company typing things into a computer or reading over forms bums me out. My mind flashes to Star. Every time I've seen her, she's so engrossed in whatever is in front of her. I wonder what it feels like to be that engaged with something. Have you ever had a class with Star?
Nope. I heard she's an art major.
Oh,
I can even draw stick figures. Why are you so interested in Star?
I don't know. Why not? She seems like an interesting person.
Have you ever talked to her?
No.
I grab my sandwich and follow Dally out the door. But I see her around, and she always seems so cool and interesting. You say that like you aren't cool and interesting.
If you're talking about my face, that's nothing. A million other girls are prettier than me.
Look at Instagram. Girls that look like me are a dime a dozen. Girls like you and Star, though,
you're rare. Dally's smart, so smart. She can do hard math in her head. She knows words in the dictionary that I didn't even know were words. And she's curvy. I'm flat as a board and could pass as a boy if I tucked my long blonde hair into a cap and put on a pair of khakis. Plus, Dally is funny as hell. She makes me laugh all the time. Girls like her are unique. Anyone can have a pretty face. You can buy those at a doctor's office. You can't buy kindness or smarts or wit.
No, Maisie, not everyone looks like you, but let's not argue because I know after living with you for 3 years that you'll never believe me.
Looks don't matter, I insist. Looks are superficial. How can I get someone interesting to like me if I'm not interesting?
How are you not interesting? Dally asks, throwing open the door to our apartment building.
Two guys in the hallway drop their belongings and rush over to hold it.
Thanks, I tell them.
One guy blushes and stammers out,
No problem, Maisie.
The other guy sticks his hand out in front of me.
I can carry that for you.
Carry what?
The bag.
I look down at the sandwich bag in my hand. My dinner? The guy gulps and nods his head vigorously.
Yeah, I don't want you to strain yourself.
It's a sandwich, dude. I cast a confused look to Dally, who is rolling her eyes.
But you live on the fourth floor.
We have elevators. I point toward the doors that are sliding open.
But you still have to hold it for four whole floors.
I'm good. I scurry away and dart inside the elevator cab before the doors close in front of my face. Dally rushes in as well and faces the wall. Her shoulders shake. I smack her across her back, which only generates muffled choking noises.
Everything okay?
The guy who offered to hold my sandwich asks. We're good, I say cheerily and jab my finger against the button to close the doors. They slide shut too slowly, but once the cab is moving, Dally collapses to the floor.
Not interesting.
She howls.
You think you're not interesting?
I kick her lightly. Stop it.
That guy thought you were so interesting that he wanted to hold your sandwich as you rode up the elevator.
She's nearly crying now.
I hate you. Dude, if you were any more interesting, you wouldn't be allowed to walk across campus. The guys would be lining up to carry you.
I fold my arms across my chest. Guys are dumb. All he knows is that I have a pretty face. I could be the biggest bitch in the world. I could be one of those man-eaters that devours their essences and leaves them empty husks. This only makes Dally laugh more. I have to help her off the elevator when it reaches our floor.
I think half the guys in this apartment would kill each other to be one of your leftover empty husks.
We live with a bunch of stupid men then.
Never said we didn't.
Maybe Star was right, I say.
About what?
Dally asks. That with all these girls out there, why date men?
Star. And you wonder how I knew you had a thing for her. Mac drops down onto the sofa beside me. Well, kind of beside me. I'm sitting on the floor with all my crap scattered on the coffee table as I try and study. I'm not great about staying on task. I do what needs to be done, but I'm always doing three things at once. Like now, I'm studying, drawing, and watching a baseball game. Oh, and checking my phone every 3 seconds to see if I have a text. What? I glance over at him as he sets down a giant plate of nachos that have my mouth watering. I steal one off his plate. You're always drawing her.
My eyes go back to where my hand is still moving over the sketch pad. I can draw her with my eyes closed, from memory. There isn't a curve, line, or expression of Maisie's that I don't know. I'm an expert at putting her beauty on paper. Even though my sketches could never compare to the real thing, they are still beautiful. Drawing has always been second nature to me. I hadn't planned to major in art. Mom and Dad gave me the shove I needed to do it. My brother, not that I will ever admit this out loud, is smarter than I am. It's only by a little, so let's not get carried away. I have to be honest, I was worried about majoring in art at first. That I might not be able to do anything with it in the future. Mom and Dad often remind me that I don't need to worry about that. I'm a trust fund baby, but it feels wrong not to try and make it on my own. Everyone in my family is driven.
maybe a little too much at times. We can be borderline obsessive if we're not careful. Dad gave me a small guilt trip, saying that he and my grandparents worked hard so we can have all the things in life we'll ever want. Dad adamantly told me that if art was my passion, then that's what I should major in. So I've done it. This is my last semester. I'll be graduating soon. And all I can seem to draw lately is the same girl over and over again. Maisie's perfect face fills up my pad. I'm putting in the finishing touches, which include her three small freckles that are near her right ear. How many times have I wondered what it would be like to kiss her there? Would she shiver in excitement as I whispered sweet nothings in her ear? Would her pussy get wet for me as I traced them with my tongue? I don't know how you do that, Max says, breaking me from my daydream. The sound of him crunching on a nacho sort of put a damper on my fantasy. What? I'm unable to pull my eyes away from the pad now. How can someone be so breathtakingly beautiful? I mean, the girl is gorgeous. I turn to glare at my brother, who is gazing down at my drawing. Seriously, Star, I'm not into her. It's just an objective fact. Anyone can see that, but when you draw her... He shakes his head, almost looking as if he's at a loss for words. That's something Mac never is. Usually I can't get him to shut up whether I want his opinion or not. You capture something about her. I can't place it. I know, I admit. I think it's her innocence. Mom always says it's crazy how I can pull out who people are in a picture. Dad says it's because I'm good at reading people. Maybe I am. It only takes me a glance to size someone up. I feel protective of Maisie for some reason. Even when it comes to my sketches, I never let anyone but Mac look at them. I don't want anyone's eyes to see what I do in my own sketches. The guys on campus don't say anything fucking innocent about her, my brother grumbles. I flip my pad closed, hiding her away. I've heard them talk too. I've wanted to punch a few in the mouth. She doesn't date, I grit out. They wouldn't know if she is innocent or not. Though somehow I know she is. I'll go as far as to say she's never been kissed. I grab another one of his nachos. Why the fuck are they talking about her if they aren't even dating her? They should keep their mouths shut. I know. I asked around. Of course you did, I say with a mouthful of nachos. Always a protective brother. I want to tell him to mind his own business and to stay away from her, but I also know my brother is a good protector and it doesn't hurt that he's keeping an eye on her too. She texts back yet? Since when are you so into my dating life? Since one of us got one? He picks up his plate so it's out of my reach. You want me to freaking make you one? Jesus. I'll take a Dr. Pepper too while you're at it. He gives me a look that says, get it yourself, but a minute later, he's standing to go make me a plate. Love you, I say with a laugh. I love you too, but answer the freaking question if I'm getting you food and drink, he says as he comes back, putting my can of soda down for me. No. I drop back to lean against the sofa. I texted her 3 hours ago and not a peep back. I know she's not in class. I sadly stalked and know her schedule. No matter how many times I told myself I wasn't going down the Maisie path, it is like all roads lead to her at every turn. Not only do I think she's way out of my league, but I also think she hasn't put together that she might play for my team. As much as I get off on the idea of being her first, it also scares the crap out of me. My biggest fear being that I open her eyes to this part of herself, and she doesn't want me long term. I want her for myself. This is why I've always been hesitant to try with her. I will never recover if I get a taste of her and she leaves me. I would be opening her eyes to all the other girls of the world who would be falling all over themselves to be with her. My girl might be innocent, but she also has heartbreak written all over her. What did you text? Mac asks as he heads back into the kitchen to make me a plate. I let out a long sigh. Why is this so hard? I told her I'd take her up on her offer to replace my shirt. Mac turns to look at me like I've grown a second head. That's what you went with? You're probably the richest person on campus, and you asked her to replace a shirt that looks like it should have been replaced 10 years ago? He throws his head back and laughs. I ignore him, grabbing my phone. I should tell her I'm joking, that it's no big deal. Mac walks back over to me, snatching my phone from my hand. Let me. Oh, like you have game. I look up at him. Girls might fall all over him, but he's good at getting them away from him, not luring them in. They are already on the hook when it comes to him. Not Maisie, though. She doesn't look at Mac like the other girls do. In fact, her eyes lit up when they met mine, a sweet blush tinting her fair, silky skin. Give me my phone back. I hold my hand up in the air for him to hand it to me, just as it dings. It dings over and over again. Mac practically drops it and I catch it midair. The only person who blows up my phone like that is our mom. Mac holds his hands up, stepping back. I don't really see anything. What are you talking about? I look down at the text. A string of pictures of Maisie in flannel shirts floods my screen, one after another of her trying on different ones in a barrage of different changing rooms. Her long legs are bare, and in a couple of them, I can see her simple white panties peeking out. Some of the shirts are too small for her. It is hands down the sexiest thing I've ever seen. Even the flustered, adorable look on her face is sexy. She is really trying to replace this shirt for me. I'll burn all my clothes to have these pictures alone. She has no idea how fucking good she looks right now. It only shows more of the innocence she embodies. Her hair is tousled from changing from one shirt to another. My fingers itch to run through it. Maisie.
Do any of these work?
Maisie.
Sorry it took me so long. I wanted to get as many options as possible. I'm so sorry about your shirt.
Maisie doesn't only have heartbreak written all over her. She is going to ruin me. Maybe she already has.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. So I'm going to read out what this has got on it. So let me see. It says, oh, this is like her book bio. She's the One features Starkel Steele and her love interest, Maisie. Star is the daughter of Maddox and Luna Castile, who are from the book Captured in the Castile series. The book includes Captured, Kept, and Stolen. Yeah, I think that's it. Star has a twin brother named Mac. I think you're introduced to that in this first segment. Yeah. Mac's the guy in the cafeteria. I had to remember. Mac, that she's the one a lot. Is that right? Man, let's see. Okay, so this one's called She's the One. His book is called My One and Only. That's going to be releasing on September 13th, which is Mac and Dally's story. Dally is Maisie's roommate. You figured that out in the first part that you just listened to. So Mac and Dally have their own story, and that'll be the conclusion of She's the One. So I think that's it. Let's see.
Hey, wait.
Hold on. Ella Good is giving away of AirPods, and yeah, a pair of AirPods. So I've got that.
Just trying. All to,
right. So yeah,
trying to updo our AirPods.
Is she giving away Apple AirPods?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay, fucking hell. Fine. So yeah. So get in on that giveaway for some Apple AirPods and new releases. Shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there is a new release. It's one of the Read Me Romance books. God, we are so unprepared. I'm like, The Midnight Bride, which we love. Remember this one?
Oh,
God,
yeah,
I love this book so much.
Oh my God, listen. So she made a map because we joked about it and I was like, oh my God, that makes me so intimidated. But the map, I think, looks like a naked woman. She's only given like a little preview of it. But she had the map drawn to look dirty. Oh. So if you listen to The Midnight Bride on the podcast, that book's out and it's got this awesome like map with it.
Not only that, it's got three bonus epilogues and the ebook. So you can get more of their
good.
Yeah. So you get more stories. So click that up, Kindle Unlimited. So
yes,
grab it up.
Go get it.
All right, I think that's all right.
I think that's it. We're going to get out of here.
We'll see. Tell them what to do, Leah. I'm so bad. I'm like, I forget.
Fuck your day up. Make today
We're
your bitch.
We're a hot mess. We're sorry. Don't we lost be Tessa a dick. Somewhere in here.
Oh, bye, Tessa.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax.